Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you for showing us how we should act with you, Lord, and showing us how we should interact with those around us, Lord. Lord, we also thank you for being our good example, Lord, and Lord, we allow you to teach us, Lord, to become more like you, Lord, and that with us becoming more like you, Lord, we're like you all the way, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us as we continue our study in the Word. This morning, we are in James chapter 2, covering verses 10 through 13. So, if it's your first time joining us, or you're rejoining us, I just want to encourage you to just take a moment, pause the episode, and read through that section of Scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, and at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who would like to begin?
I would.
All right, Promise.
So the previous episode, well, other people have been talking about how that, as in people except for me, have been talking about the law and how focusing on the last half of verse 13 where it says mercy triumphs over judgment and focusing on how we should be acting toward other people and how the way we judge other people is going to be measured back onto us. And the Lord, well, I would like to go back to something else, going still inside the same section, but coming at it from a different perspective.
Okay.
And coming back to further up, well, near the beginning of chapter 2, about partiality, and how, and also John, I believe, talking about James and John, how they thought it was more so, God more so wanted them to condemn other people, and that's how they're going to be approved, rather than God actually saying, yeah, you're doing it, you're doing well, which the latter we should be looking for. And the Lord first brought me to, while this is inside of James, I'm still going to read it because it's good. And also, first let me give some background. And how with us, when we think something, we more so think that condemnation gives us more powerful, makes us seem more powerful to other people, or allows us to use God's power in a more effective manner. However, it's not necessarily the truth, because God did not come to condemn other people. He came to save them.
Amen.
And with God's power, there's always the opportunity to reconcile with God.
Amen.
And so, to James. And it says, Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Okay. So if we're too busy trying to receive accolades from other people, from mankind, are we actually allowing God's will to be done in that situation? And if so facto, are we being selfish?
Okay.
Which, and if we're trying to be selfish and garner something for ourselves and try to whip it up so that we can have it, God cannot actually condone that.
Mm-hmm.
And back to, I mentioned talking about how God's power is not to destroy, it's to restore and to rebuild what's been broken. And the way the Lord expressed it to me was, he first brought me to John 10:10, which says, the thief, talking about Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have more, sorry, that they may have it more abundantly. And then we shall go to Isaiah 14:13-15. This is again talking about Satan. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lower part, sorry, to the lowest depths of the pit. Mm-hmm. And how oftentimes when we think about that, we more so try to allot it just to the devil. But by our actions, and if we're trying to condemn other people, are we not doing the same thing? If we're too busy focusing on destroying instead of actually allowing God to build up and restore, aren't we not being the same? Are we not filling the same role? Mm-hmm. As in, are we allowing ourselves to be used by the adversary to further his cause, which is ultimately to drive people away from the Lord?
Amen.
And also, going back to the reconciliation, for the power that God exhibits, there's always an opportunity to come back. We see inside of 2 Kings 6:14-23 about Elisha, with God's power, there's actual betterment. It's not just, sure, you cut off one head, but, for example, wheat, you cut off the leaves, but they grow back and it grows bigger, instead of actually dealing with the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And with 2 Kings, Elisha with Assyrians, the way God used him in the situation and the way Elisha allowed God to use him, made it where that the raiding bands didn't come anymore into Israel. It made it where that there's actual improvement. And how oftentimes we ascribe Elisha with lesser power than what Elijah exhibited. But if we go back to 1 Kings 18:40, where he killed the prophets of Baal, we see later they're back. There's more than there was before.
When Elijah did that.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, he destroyed some of them, but it's the problem still festered. And also, when we do it God's way, and when we allow God to, when we go with the perspective of mercy, God is able to justify us and also make us pure and clean before him. Not go, well, he did use my power, but, well, he used part of my power, but the way he handled the situation, it gave the adversary a foothold. And as a result, all these other things are going to happen.
Okay.
So it sounds like what you're saying is identical to what the Lord said through Paul in Romans 8. All right. And I'll read the first 16 verses because this is vital, right? Since you were talking about condemnation and being led by the Lord and how we're to function, right? The practical application part of this, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned it in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, who live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Which then brings us right back to what we were discussing in the previous episode about being conformed to the image of Father, Son, firstborn, right? Of many brethren, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Being conformed to his image, loving the Father in totality with all of our being, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and demonstrating that by also loving our neighbor as ourself. Not judging or condemning, because they are set free in Christ. And we should be exhibiting that same grace and mercy, not judging, right? But yes, praying for them, interceding for them, helping them become closer in their relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I enjoyed the references that you were giving, and then how you brought it together, my love, because basically it's being carnally minded. And just because you are accepted in the beloved doesn't mean that your mind has been renewed. Just because you receive salvation doesn't mean that you've changed your perspective on how to navigate and operate in life. And the example that you gave, the brothers of thunder, James and John, they were like, yeah, you gave us power. Here's what we're going to do with it. Yes, you must be approving of us, God, because you're letting your power, you know, we know you have power and you've used us for things. So let us call down fire on people so we can do what seems right to our natural flesh and indulges our sinful ideologies. But the Lord's like, no, you misunderstand. That's reserved for what the Father wants it to reserve for, and you're not it. You should be here in mercy and grace. You know, it's interesting. They were called under the ministry of Jesus Christ.
All right.
They were not born under the law of Moses in the sense of being called in the time of Moses, right? And when we walk in our flesh, even though we're saved, it does not lend itself to the full carrying out of the plan of God, right? We read that. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That was in the first chapter of James, right?
Yes, Mom.
Yes.
Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be quick to hear the Father's thought on the matter. Not quick to hear so you can get all the evidence you need to condemn that person that's talking to you. Even though there is scripture that says a person who speaks before hearing a matter is considered a fool. However, he's talking about hear God all the way on the matter. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be quick to hear what God is saying about it. And then only say what he tells you to say.
Or do what he's telling you to do.
And the wrath would be the physical carrying out part of that. What does your anger have to do with anything? Because rest assured, most of the people who carry around their own personal bag of righteous indignation is really just their indignation. Has nothing to do with God. You're rustling in your own bag every time someone does something or says something you don't like. That's not what the Lord is saying. So the culmination of that is really God saying, come up higher. There is another way of thinking. There's a more excellent way, right? We look back at 1 Corinthians. Oh, let me look. When it's talking about right before chapter 13.
So the end of chapter 12.
Mm-hmm. At the end of chapter 12, the Lord is getting towards the end. He's talking about the apostles, the prophets and teachers and all these gifts and earnestly desiring the best spiritual gifting, if you will. And this is like an office or an operation of the Lord working through you. And he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And most of the time we stop at the thing that sounds important to us. It sounds pious. It sounds powerful. It sounds spiritually important. And we
sounds like the Lord has approved you, or sound and or looks like you are now approved of the Lord
because you're in this position or you're doing this, that, or the other. But then he goes, and yet I show you a more excellent way. That's a secret that you'll notice about the Word of God. If you're actually listening to Holy Spirit, it's not the big stuff that sounds loud that he's in, like when Elijah was up on the mountain, and it was like although the wind was going through this and the rocks are breaking off and all this stuff, but God was not in any of those things that seemed and sounded important. He was in the still small voice. So when you read through the Word, Sonny.
I'll give you another example. Now that we've covered this, you can understand John the Baptist. It says, and John came doing no miracles. All those things that many look for to say, oh, the Lord has approved you. And then people follow. Mm-hmm. Said he came doing none of those things. Yet he was still known and recognized as a prophet. Why? Because of his love for the Lord. And yes, it was also demonstrated that I'll say loving his neighbor as himself. Because what did he do? He provided what's needed. Don't be deceived, right? Don't fool you. Don't say to yourself, we're sons of Abraham, or right? Like he addressed all those things of which people had been deceiving themselves, saying, no, follow the Lord fully. This is what it means. This is what it looks like, not just what it sounds like or what we have, you know, I'll say, come to accept.
What you think or
just
you
following
want it
the
to mean.
The religious traditions, because the Lord's not in it. It's just a religious tradition. Amen. Even though the things the Lord gave were always meant to point people to the Lord.
Amen. The very last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, and yet I show you a more excellent way, which means a higher way, a better way, right?
Yes, mommy.
And then he proceeds to talk about love. And not just human love. Human love is stupid. It's inept. It's a failed attempt at personal gratification. That's all it's about. But the God kind of love is right. It's always right. It does everything right according to the purpose and the plan of God because it comes from and through him. And then you read through the entirety of chapter 13, but then look at the opening of verse 14. Pursue love. Seek it out. Chase it. Run it down. Make it your business to have this as a part of your life. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire means, okay, I would like this to happen, but my business, I make sure, I ensure that I have in my life manifested day after day after day is the love of Jesus Christ, the God kind of love.
And one more point that I'll say forgot, but Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance about going back with the example on John the Baptist, which is why Jesus could say that of all the prophets, right, John was the greatest. It wasn't because of clearly miracles, right, or anything else that was a sign that he had been approved. It was just his love for the Father and demonstrated by his obedience, both in doing what the Lord led him to do. And I say Lord because, yes, he was clearly led by Holy Spirit. And that was also came out in his interactions with the people. Doing what the Lord said to do first, but also ministering to them, how he was led to minister to them. And the teaching, the preaching, and the baptizing, and every area and aspect of his life. But Jesus also said of all the prophets, John was the greatest, but he also then said he'll be the least in the kingdom. In other words, if you get down to the core of that, it is even with everybody else. Because, again, going back to what we were talking about with partiality, there's no partiality with the Lord. He loves everyone equally. Mm-hmm. And everyone in the kingdom, or that re-enters the heavenly community, has and demonstrates that same kind of love. First and foremost to the Lord, but also to their neighbor. So, well, let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, I thank you for today. And I thank you for your love that you've shown us, Lord, and the love that you've given us to show to others, Lord. We ask that you'll continue to train us, Lord, that you'll continue to help us in the areas that we're struggling in, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your willingness to do so. We thank you for the brothers and sisters we have that you've placed in our lives, Lord, who will admonish us, who will love us, Lord, and point us back to you when we've deviated from the track, Lord. But we first thank you for the Holy Spirit who was sent to do that, Lord, that you tell us the truth always and you tell us before we even have need of it. We thank you for our partners and listeners, Lord. We thank you for the health of their bodies, Lord, the peace in their households and the prosperity, Lord, that they every need of theirs is provided for, Lord, and that you're caring for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.